Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
It's always the podcast for you and only you. And if anyone tries to take it from you, well, I'd hate to be them.
What antiques are we talking about this week?
So, I was very excited that one of the antiques and the arts magazines that I was reading, the Journal of Antiques and Collectibles, announced in its most recent issue that glass is back, baby!
I mean, on the one hand, I'm excited because that means I'll finally be able to get rid of all of my glass. On the other hand, I'm less excited because I get the distinct impression that means now I will have to hear about glass.
You will, buddy!
Huzzah!
So yeah, you're gonna have to sit through some glass. So I want to talk about a specific kind of glass. A glass called stretch glass. And this is in a group of glasses that are very frequently mistaken for each other. Which is one of my favorite things to untangle. Now, do you have any idea what stretch glass is?
Is it perhaps a kind of glass that is formed by being stretched while it was molten?
Sort of. That's definitely part of it. But that actually isn't its number one main thing. It is a type of glass that has a specific effect that gives the glass a lustrous and iridescent quality. Now, already you might be saying, but fuck, I've seen iridescent glass before. How many names do we have for this shit? And indeed, it could be considered a kissing cousin of the carnival glass, which is another common iridescent glass that people run into.
For more on that, check out our episode on carnival glass.
On top of that, its smooth surface tends to get it mistaken with satin glass. And what's more, the way it was named can also make it mistaken with swung glass.
Sorry, satin glass has a smooth finish?
Yeah, buddy. It feels very satiny.
It feels like shark skin.
Are you high and or did someone lie to you about satin glass?
Satin glass is the peach blow stuff you love, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, that feels like shark skin. It's awful.
Are you talking specifically about the ones that have, like, applied painted decorations? Because, like, yeah, those will be rough.
No.
What?
I'm talking about the part of the glass that fades slowly from a pale green to a soft pink.
Now, here's a good time to remind ourselves that we all experience the world in extremely different ways. Because that's a wild takeaway. It was completely, it didn't have any paint on it.
No.
And you were experiencing it as shark skin.
Yeah.
It's supposed to feel like satin or velvet.
Like a very fine grade sandpaper. Deeply unpleasant on the fingertips. Can you believe I didn't get tested for autism until I was in my 20s?
Yeah, I did. Like, I'm glad you said that.
Boy.
Yeah, so, I mean, the effect might feel different to people with a different sensory inputs. Satin glass is different from stretch glass in one really important way, and that's because satin glass is the way that it is because it's treated with a chemical. Pretty much the same thing that makes frosted glass. But we're not talking about that today, we're just talking about how it's different from stretch glass, which is also called iridescent glass, very creative, poor man's Tiffany, which it stole from carnival glass, and onion skin glass.
Is it because it is so very thin, or because it looks like it has a layer of translucent onion skin over it?
Because of the latter.
I see.
Now, originally, before it was called stretch glass even, the first instance of this being documented is 1912 with the Imperial Glass Company of the U.S., marketed as an effect called crizzled glass, which is funny.
Crizzled?
Crizzled, which is a word that means nothing, but does actually seem to communicate the effect.
Like drizzle and crystal together at last? Crizzled?
Exactly right. Crizzled.
Wow.
It sounds like a word KFC would invent to sell chicken.
Yeah.
Like a freshly crizzled chicken sounds pretty tasty, actually. Is it a real word?
You're the guy with the notes, my dude.
I didn't look that one up. I kind of figured I'd say crizzled and see how you reacted. I don't know.
Just because every time I host an episode it's about defining words, suddenly I'm expected to know the definitions of words.
You're like our word guy. Okay, crizzle is a real word.
Okay.
It means to become rough or crumpled as a verb, to roughen or crumple.
Like shark skin?
A roughened surface as of the skin when exposed to sun and wind.
Oh, so like shark skin.
Like shark skin. Again, where satin glass shouldn't feel that way.
And yet here we are, a world where satin glass feels like shark skin.
Do you experience satin glass as shark skin? Write in. I'm really curious to see if Ken got a really bad piece of satin glass or that is just how some people perceive it.
AntiquesFreaksPodcast@gmail.com.
Now, stretch glass, what makes it very special is in how it is created.
Is it by stretching?
You want it to be stretched so bad.
Well, the thing is they named it that. And it's not because of how it looks, so...
Glass is taken hot out of a mold. All stretch glass is molded. Pressed or blown mold. It's sprayed with metallic salts. Now, metallic salts on a hot surface or heated create an iridescence. This is the exact same way that they make carnival glass. However, the difference is that carnival glass is sprayed with metallic salts after it's been worked and is ready to cool down. Stretch glass is sprayed with metallic salts and then reheated and worked, which is stretching, you might argue, or in some way changing the shape slightly or dramatically.
So I was completely correct the whole time from the very beginning.
Yes, but it was going to give away the buildup, and then it was like, I just didn't want the episode to be like, yeah, it looks stretched. All right,
then
bye.
Why did you ask me at the top of the episode what it meant? If there was a risk that I would get it right and blow your cover.
Because I didn't think you'd get it right. And then I was like, wow, that's a really fucking subjective view, so maybe I could just get away with being like, no.
Instead, it was objective, like the fact that peach blow glass feels like sandpaper.
We're gonna go to the Whaling Museum and play fucking patty cake. I've gotta know more about this. Now, not all peach blow is satin glass. Maybe that is the thing that happened.
No, it's satin glass. I know, because you got really excited and clapped your hands and said, that's satin glass.
Oh, yeah, that one was satin glass. So as Ken accurately identified at the beginning, and I gaslit him about, this reshaping...
Wow, you think it's called stretch glass because you stretch it? You sound so crazy right now.
You're fucking so crazy. We're not even talking about stretch glass right now. What's wrong with you? As Ken identified, this reshaping and reheating stretches the iridescent salts and creates a thin onion skin effect, which can also be referred to as quote-unquote stretch marks. Proof that stretch marks are always beautiful. Now, the onion skin effect can be very subtle, in which case it just kind of has these optical illusion-esque striations. Or even just the appearance of the iridescence being under glass, which, haha, it is.
But I fooled you. You thought this was glass, but really, it was glass.
It's glass. Well, it's difficult to describe verbally the kind of visual difference between carnival glass, which just has metallic salt on top, and the metallic salts being reheated and kind of having that like vitrification happen again, which gives it this like layered quality. Like you described, kind of like this onion skin underneath it.
So does it look less like an oil slick than carnival glass does?
It does. It does look less. The iridescent effect is gentler.
And looks less like you could chip it away with your fingernail?
Yes. And that is the major difference between it and carnival glass. They are often swapped in and out for each other, but there's a very, very big difference. Another big difference is that carnival glass came first. And in fact, stretch glass was kind of a response to carnival glass falling out of favor. It is sort of a visual following of the arts and crafts movement, where people got sick of looking at grapes and dolphins all over everything and thought, what if glass was just smooth now?
Huh. I mean, sure.
Stretch glass popped up. As we said, 1912 would be the first instance of it. It's not called stretch glass yet. It's going to be called stretch glass in 1916 and would continue to be made through the 1930s.
When John Stretch opened his glass factory.
When Mr. Stretch himself. Nay, Armstrong. Okay, I was like, he's got to be laughing. That was funny. A lot of glass companies did make stretch glass. Most notable among them would definitely be Imperial, Central Glassworks, Jeanette, Tiffin, and Fendon, and Diamond. Now, one really interesting fact about stretch glass is that there are two periods of stretch glass. The early period, which is any glass made from the late 1910s to the early 1930s, and 1970s to the 2010s is late period stretch glass. Now, we don't usually see that in antiques for one good reason, because we don't call antiques antiques if they are new.
It's a fun quirk of the industry.
But as a collectible, it's sort of fascinating. Pretty much all late period stretch glass is made by Fenton, that beast Fenton, and was probably prompted by the Stretch Glass Society in the 1970s, when the Stretch Glass Society asked Fenton if they would ever make stretch glass again, to which Fenton said bet, and made stretch glass again.
It's that easy.
It's apparently, like, if there's something Fenton used to make that you like, just, like, mail them, I guess. Apparently they take requests.
Just at them on Twitter.
At them on Twitter. They'll love it. Now, there's one more miscommunication creeping around stretch glass, and that's art glass. Now, the fuck?
An incredible question.
There is, in my heart and mind, a little bit of conflict here, where it is either possible for stretch glass to also be art glass, square rectangle style, or stretch glass might be specifically molded, and if it is not molded, it cannot be stretch glass. You will have to find the answer to that in your heart.
I feel like the mold part of the process has nothing to do with the stretching part of the process, and therefore if it doesn't come in a mold, it can still be stretch glass.
I'm inclined to agree. I mostly added that because I don't want to piss off anyone in the stretch glass society.
I feel like me being your co-host has already pissed them off, so like...
Ah, they can get over it. You're cool. You got beef with Ken, you got beef with me, stretch glass society. Just like, we already had beef with you, fuck off.
Stop emailing us.
Stop emailing us! I agree. The stretch is in the process, which to me suggests that art glass can also be stretch glass. The difference is just in that art glass is handmade, hand-blown glass. It does not involve a mold whatsoever. Stretch glass can involve a mold or being hand-blown. Fun fact, the act of creating iridescence with metallic salts on molten glass is called doping.
Oh no.
Which, in at least a couple of recorded talks that I watched, they have acknowledged has unfortunately gained a variety of other meanings since it was called that.
Uh-oh. Oh no.
I just love the idea of someone saying, hey, that ain't regular glass, that shit's doped. You doped that glass.
I'm just imagining someone getting taken out of an art glass competition for doping.
Kicking and screaming. Saying it's a time-honored tradition! Another fun fact about collecting stretch glass is that you can just sort of stop looking for serving pieces. They didn't make dinnerware.
Finally, my search is ended. I can rest my weary head.
It's one of those little things that you know, like the facts that you just sort of acknowledge in your head, but never like stop and think about.
You're gonna have to get way more specific, dude.
You know, like you've never been like, huh, I've never seen my dad and Batman in the same room. And, like, you know to be true that you haven't, but you don't stop and think about it until your dad winks at you and says, you've never seen me and Batman in the same room, right? This is a bad example, maybe.
I feel like if your dad was Bruce Wayne, you would be living a very different life.
I'd probably be the same person. I'd just be, like, snottier. Or maybe I'd just become, like, an unhinged philanthropist. That'd be fun, too.
Yeah, I think it's more likely to be the second one.
But... I was always aware of stretch glass and admired stretch glass and had just sort of never thought, I think it's strange that I never see dinnerware in stretch glass. Because when it was being made, it was just considered sort of an accoutrement to the table.
Decorative.
Decorative. You would see beverage sets like pitchers and glasses, berry bowls, and luncheon services, which you might be familiar with as those little trays that have a depression in them for a little cuppy. That's the technical term, is a little cuppy.
Like a salsa bowl for chips?
Yeah, kind of like a salsa bowl for chips. They're just a small dish that has a resting spot for a cup. A luncheon.
I see.
I also found out that a tumbler with a foot, so a tumbler-sized glass that has feet, is called a bridge goblet through stretch glass, and that you can buy them in that. So that's neat. I like the sound of bridge goblet.
It does sound like something that ought to impart magical powers.
Doesn't it? Now that being said, the closer to food the piece is, the rarer it is for stretch glass. Like, usable, practical stretch glass, it definitely fetches, like, higher prices. Alongside, naturally, pieces that aren't from the late period stretch glass. You'd never guess, but when it comes to antiques, old stuff is good.
You don't say.
I do say.
My word.
Stretch glass is not frequently reproduced because its creation is rooted in being handmade. There really aren't, like, too many ways to fake that funk on a nasty dunk.
Truly.
As for how much you're going to spend on stretch glass, that varies. With the economy the way it is as of right now, my optimism buoyed by the magazine notwithstanding, I would say common pieces you could probably get for $20 to $50. Now, rare pieces, a complete salad set, beverage set, a bridge goblet perhaps. God, I love how that sounds. Now you're going to start looking at the 100 to several hundred range. if my constant mentioning of the stretch glass society wasn't a clue, this is one of the most beloved types of decorative glass that was ever made. Possibly because it lacks the please forgive me carnival glass lovers, I love it too. The sort of like tacky carnival aspect of carnival glass, I think is more deserving of the phrase poor man's Tiffany. It does look more refined.
I feel like the having the color under a layer of glass probably helps with that. It looks less like tacked on.
Yeah, exactly. It's gentler. It's not quite so flashy, but it is still absolutely beautiful, the way all sparkly, shiny things are. Now, one thing that the Stretch Glass Society seemed really insistent that I know is while stretch glass is not usually patterned, it can be patterned. However, it is almost always patterned in a subtle way, either subtle or completely untextured, such as optical illusion patterns. Optical illusion patterns are generally the kind of patterns that, for example, if seen in a bowl, are patterned on the inside and not the outside. So you touch it and you don't feel the pattern, but you look at it and you see it and you're like, what the fuck, witchcraft? I gotta call the Witchfinder General.
Exactly.
But there are also subtle textured patterns, usually ribbing, a pattern called melon, which is just really big ribs, look the way a melon sometimes looks.
Oh.
And every now and again, specifically with Fenton, you will see heavily patterned pieces that they just also use for their carnival glass. Their dolphin compote being perhaps the most famous. I saw a lot of examples of that one. It is a bowl with dolphins as handles. Fenton really loved that mold, and they made stretch glass in it too.
I mean, I love it too. It's a delight.
However, it would be considered a heavily patterned mold, so it's still stretch glass. Now, the other one that I mentioned, the one that gets confused strictly because of the name, stretch versus swung glass, I was extremely amused to find that the difference between that is that swung glass is literally physically swung by a handle. That's the difference. To create it, you make a vase, and then you put the vase on like a hook or like a claw of some sort, and you hang it upside down and you swing it.
Wow.
Until it makes a funnier shape.
They're just having a good time down at the glass factory, huh?
It seems so, for such a deadly, hot, dangerous object, it seems so fun. It's just Play-Doh for artists. It's incredible.
It's just Play-Doh that can cleave the flesh from your bone.
Yeah, we just call that danger Play-Doh. So yeah, let's all celebrate that glass is coming back in a major way and go buy stretch glass. I don't care if you like it or not. Go buy it.
Glass is so in right now, so we've heard. You have to buy it.
Shop small. Sources for today include, you'll never guess, thestretchglasssociety.org.
Incredible.
If you're interested in this topic, I cannot recommend them enough. They have so many articles and videos and talks. If you like stretch glass, I would say that joining them is your absolute best choice. We also have collectorsweekly.com, glassware stretch, janvierroad.wordpress.com, is it a stretch vase or a swung vase, and the National Depression Glass Association.net or ndga.net. Their article Stretch Glass and Stretch Patterns and Optics.
If you would like to suggest an episode topic or just say hello, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. You can post in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends. You can tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com. Or you can check out our Instagram at instagram.com/antiquesfreaks.
If you would like to share your experience of texture, feel free to scroll on down wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave us a 5-star review. This podcast doesn't feel like shark skin. 5 stars.
We received a lovely review from Auction Wally 12.
My favorite superhero, Auction Wally.
Who said, learn much, laugh hard, be a pirate.
Aww.
The future of antiques collecting lies in the hands of creative generational gatekeepers like Ken and Dee. I don't know that gatekeepers is the word. I would hope we're making antiques more accessible, but we'll see.
Yeah, if we're at that gate, I think the doors might be wide open.
We also have an Etsy shop at etsy.com/shop/antiquesfreaks, where you can find a variety of vintage goods and also t-shirts and stickers with the podcast logo on them. And if you need more Antiques Freaks in your week, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks, where every week we read and review a chapter of the Victorian Penny Dreadful, Varney the Vampire, the Feast of Blood. Special thanks to our patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.